Welcome to the Morning Magazine for Monday, February 28th of 2022. I'm your host, Shannon Young. Thank you for joining us here on listener-supported community radio. Coming up on today's program, members of Denver's Ukrainian community will share their thoughts and feelings about the ongoing invasion of their home country. We'll also hear from longtime ranchers in the Roaring Fork Valley about why they decided to sell their homestead to the Aspen Valley Land Trust. And we'll take a look at what's coming up on this afternoon's Metro Show. At the bottom of the hour, we'll hear the BBC headlines and then the Hightower Lowdown, followed by a public affair with the Community Foundation of Boulder County. And as always, on Monday morning, it's Counterspin at 9 a.m., a look at fairness and accuracy in reporting. Then at 9:30, Leland Rucker will be in the Boulder studio to bring you 2.5 hours of eclectic music with the Morning Sound Alternative. All that's still ahead this morning, but first, a look at local and regional headlines with KGNU's Ellie Stuckrath.
Face coverings are no longer necessary in indoor settings in most of the Front Range. That's according to new guidance issued Friday by the Federal Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. The CDC revised its masking recommendations according to a combination of new metrics at the county level. The metrics include new COVID-19 cases per 100,000 residents, new hospital admissions in the past week, and availability of staffed hospital beds. The CDC's new online tool to check counties' risk levels shows Denver, Boulder, Broomfield, Arapaho, Adams, and Douglas at the lowest risk level. Jefferson and Weld counties are at medium risk. Larimer County is at a high-risk community level, at which the CDC continues to recommend the use of masks in indoor spaces. The CDC has also updated its guidance for public and private school buses. As of this morning, universal masking is no longer required on Boulder Valley School District buses and vans. The school district dropped the masking requirement inside of school buildings just over a week ago, but federal guidelines kept mask mandates in effect on school buses. Face coverings are still required on flights and at airports through at least March 18th and on most forms of public transit. The Denver Metro Regional Transportation District, RTD, is seeking public comment on the new system operation plan. The plan seeks to increase ridership, adjust to new travel patterns, and improve overall performance of the RTD system. An interactive map available online at RTD's website allows residents to look at different routes and leave comments and recommendations. RTD is also hosting 2 public meetings to share the new system operation plan and collect feedback. The first meeting is tonight, February 28th, at 5:30 p.m. over Zoom, and will be conducted in English. The second meeting is Thursday, March 3rd, at 5:30 p.m. over Zoom, and will be conducted in Spanish. More information is available at rtd-denver.com. Today kicks off a 6-week-long dive into how Boulder County will spend tens of millions of dollars allocated under the American Recovery Plan Act, or ARPA. Boulder County has created 3 working groups that will focus on economic challenges, housing affordability, and mental health and social resilience. Their work begins today and will continue through April with workshops and meetings on the impacts of COVID-19 and the needs and wants of community members. Recordings of these meetings will be posted on the county's website at boco.org/ARPA for public viewing and input. The federal government allocated more than $63 million in ARP funding to Boulder County. According to a county press release, half of that money arrived last year and the remainder is expected by the summer. Colorado will soon receive its first disbursement of funds from a multi-billion dollar settlement with pharmaceutical companies as part of a nationwide opioid lawsuit. Colorado Attorney General Phil Weiser announced Friday the state will receive $385 million over 18 years. The $26 billion settlement is the second largest multi-state settlement in U.S. history after a similar deal reached with tobacco companies. According to the Colorado Attorney General's office, the companies will start releasing funds to a national administrator on April 2nd, and the money will become available to state and local governments this summer or early fall. Before we go to the weather, the KGNU newsroom wants to thank Jamie Sedler for his 9 years of service as a volunteer headlines producer. Jamie began producing the headlines in 2013 at the suggestion of then news director Joel Edelstein. Since then, he has spent countless volunteer hours compiling the news summaries for KGNU listeners, arriving at the Denver studio oftentimes before anyone else at the Buell Media Center. While Jamie is stepping down from headlines production, you will continue to hear him on the Morning Magazine every Tuesday with This Week in Water and in a KGNU newsroom series that's currently in development. In today's weather, we'll have sunny skies and warmer temperatures across the Front Range. The National Weather Service forecasts a high of 58 degrees today in Boulder with a low of 33. Highs are expected to remain in the upper 50s and low 60s for the rest of the week. Denver should see similar weather with a high of 62 degrees today and a forecast of highs in the 60s for the remainder of the week. Temperatures are expected to reach 57 degrees today in Fort Collins. Outside the Boulder studios, it's 45 degrees. For KGNU, I'm Ellie Stuckrath.
You are listening to the Morning Magazine on KGNU. Russia's invasion of Ukraine has been dominating the news for the past few days. Ukrainians at home and abroad have been demonstrating, and Denver is no exception. The city's Ukrainian community and allies gathered on the steps of the state capitol the day of the invasion, and CityCast Denver producers Paul Caroli and Xander McMahon were there to document the scene.
Set the scene for us. Where are we and why?
So we're walking down Lincoln, approaching the Capitol, and there's a crowd in front of the Capitol of about, I don't know, I'm really bad at estimating crowd sizes, but I'd say like maybe 50 people waving blue and yellow flags, holding signs. One of the signs says, "Help Ukraine." And yeah, we're going to talk to some of these folks.
My name is Lana Finkanen.
What's brought you out today?
So I am a Ukrainian. My family is from Ukraine, and my family is out there. Their city is being bombed and being shelled. They're hiding in the basement. I'm concerned for them. I'm concerned for everyone. I have Ukrainian pride till I die. That's why I'm here. If I could be there, I'd be there right now.
Can you tell me what your sign says?
Yeah, so my sign says fight with Ukraine, Slava Ukraini. That means glory to Ukraine, and then F*** Putin. Yeah. This is a picture of me and my grandma. This was after my Ukrainian dance performance. She was very, very proud of me, and she was just happy that I was representing my country. And yeah, she's passed, and this is for her. This is for her.
So what outcome are you hoping from today's rally? Like, is this to spread awareness or is this to call for action?
Yeah, I think part of it is to spread awareness. I think also all of us are so anxious and want to be able to do something. And this is something that we have control of and that we can do. We want to bring awareness to the Capitol. There's plenty of other gatherings in other capitals, and we hope that we can get to the White House to bring defense to our country. I know it's a lot to ask for, getting involved, but we need help.
So would you like to see Biden send U.S. troops to help Ukraine?
I would like that. However, I know what the outcome of that could be, so that's a selfish thought. However, I do think they need to send defensive, technology, just a spread of word. That's the least they could do right now. So we just need Biden to get together with NATO and come up with some type of plan that can help us, better move forward instead of just leaving us to fend for ourselves.
What's the Ukrainian community like in Denver? Is it really robust? Like, this seems like a really good turnout.
I'm actually very surprised. I'm originally from Chicago, where there is a huge Ukrainian community, and I was fully prepared to, like, be standing here by myself with her. And I am absolutely amazed at the turnout. More and more people keep showing up. It feels great. It feels like home to me. It feels like I'm not alone, and that's a beautiful feeling. I think it's I'm actually shocked at the amount of Ukrainians that are here, and I'm very happily pleased. It feels great to be together today.
Excuse me. Do you have a minute to talk for a podcast?
Yeah, let's do it.
I have to talk to you because of the hockey jersey.
Oh,
I'm
nice.
A hockey guy too. So what's your name?
I'm Steven.
Steven, what brings you out here today?
My grandparents emigrated from Ukraine. I grew up Ukrainian, and it's just terrible what's going on.
So what message do you hope Denverites take away from this rally?
That the war against Ukraine is a war against democracy in Europe, and it's not just some country tucked away in Eastern Europe. You know, it's something that can spread, and that Putin is truly an aggressor and, you know, wants to restore the Soviet Union and wipe out the Ukrainian identity and the Ukrainian people.
How does that make you feel?
It hits pretty close to home. It's a little bit messed up. I've been at rallies like this in like 2007 and 2014, protesting Putin, and it's the same story each time. Although this time he's acted a little bit more in it than he has in the past, which is, it's frightening. I still have family over in Ukraine. I'm worried for their safety.
So tell me about the jersey. What team is this? I don't recognize it. I normally know hockey jerseys.
So my dad had these made. I'm not even sure if Ukraine honestly has a national hockey team. We play pretty good soccer every once in a while, but it's my mother's name on the back. My parents or grandparents are from Ukraine, and then 91 is when Ukraine gained their independence. So
wow.
Hopefully they can maintain that.
Your dad had this made?
Yeah.
This is a beautiful jersey.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
So you said you had family over there. Have you been in touch?
We've been in touch with them on WhatsApp. Fortunately, they're in the western part of the country, in Lviv. But I think, as we've seen, right, there were cruise missiles that hit Ivano-Frankivsk, which is in the western part of the country. You know, this isn't a conflict that's just isolated to Luhansk and the Donbass. Putin's really coming after all of Ukraine.
So what are you hearing from family? How do they feel? Like, what's happening?
Well, I think people here in the States, you know, they're like, oh, there's a conflict. Why don't they just leave, right? It's like, you know, if Wyoming was under attack and we're in Denver, well, maybe we would just go to Florida or New York. But people there don't have that mobility. They can't just pack up and leave. They don't have the means to just resettle or go to Poland or the European Union. So there's a lot of people that are just going to be stuck in this conflict. WhatsApp has been great in terms of being able to reach out to them and staying in contact with them, which has been helpful. But I think there's just a lot of uncertainty and fear. I'm not sure that anyone really thought that it was going to come to this. And then it's just been pretty frightening how quickly Russia's moved and how far they've already pushed into Ukraine.
Thanks so much for your time.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Can I ask you a few questions?
Yeah.
All right. We'll start with an easy one. Can I get your name?
Alexandra Levchenko.
Awesome. And what part of Denver are you from?
Downtown. We live near there. This may be 5 minutes walking.
Oh,
here.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So what brought you out today?
We want to support our country, our people, because there is hard and scary time for them, for us too, because there is our family and our friends there. And they scary now.
When did you leave Ukraine?
I moved to Denver, to USA, almost 2 months ago. Yes. And my husband lives in USA almost for 4 years.
I can imagine it's really, really hard, though, to see what's happening and being so far away. How were you feeling last night when the news came out that they had officially invaded?
We can't sleep almost all night because almost every city, our parents lives in different city, but my parents feel it, and his parents feel it, and they old people, they can't go somewhere, and they just scared too because this hard. We are young, and this is easier for us to leave or move to another country even for some time. But for them, this is hard.
So you said this is your husband?
Yes.
Yeah.
Hi, nice to meet you.
Hi.
And she said that you've been here for about 4 years?
Yes, for almost 4 years, yeah.
Why'd you pick Denver? What drew you to Denver?
Oh, it's good place for live, for business, for everything. It's cool. I don't know. I like it for people in Denver, and it's mountain, it's naturals.
Yeah.
It's amazing place. I don't know.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Can't disagree with you there. Love it. So do you want to tell me a little bit about how you're feeling, too?
Yeah, I really sad what I'm not like in Ukraine and don't have a chance to help for my people for you know, in this situation.
Do you still have family in Ukraine?
Yeah, I have my family in Ukraine, my brothers, my mother, father, like, and yeah.
Have you talked to them recently?
Yeah, but it's not good situation, but no one don't panic, you know.
Well, I hope that they stay safe, and thank you so much for talking to me.
You just heard an excerpt from CityCast Denver, the local Denver daily news podcast. Learn more about subscribing to the podcast at denver.citycast.fm or wherever you get your podcasts.
We now turn to this audio postcard shared by Aspen Public Radio. Rex and Joanne Kaufman have been ranching in Carbondale, Colorado for over 60 years. The couple worked their dairy and beef cattle, raised their kids on the land, and eventually leased to other local ranchers. They are both in their 90s now and recently sold their 141-acre homestead to the Aspen Valley Land Trust. The Kaufmans, as well as both Garfield and Pitkin County, helped fund the purchase. The ranch property sits along the Roaring Fork River between the Catherine Store and the town of Carbondale. The Aspen Valley Land Trust plans to keep some ranching and farming on the land and conserve it for outdoor education, public trail use, and wildlife habitat. Aspen Public Radio's Eleanor Bennett visited the Kaufmans at their historic ranch.
My name is Joanne Kaufman, but everybody calls me Joe.
I'm Rex Kaufman, C-O-F-F-M-A-N.
Tell them how we met. I would say the love of the land and the open space.
Well, I went to the University of Nebraska. I met my wife there. She was walking down the street. I had my horse and I said, "Would you like a ride?" And she said, "Yes, okay." Stepped in that stirrup, come up on that saddle just like she was born on a horse.
Well, I was born on a farm in Nebraska.
So I said, something might become out of this, which it did. So it all worked out.
Well, we had children who were school age, and we were interested in getting a place where they would have good education. And Carbondale seemed to stand out at that time.
And it's proven to be a good idea that we moved here.
The house was built in 1948, but of course we've lived here 62 years, so we have tried to make it as homey as possible. We have this picture up here on the wall. Well, the photo was given to us by a neighbor when we moved here. Since it was a picture of our ranch, they thought we should have it. But it shows there's a potato cell up there because they raised potatoes at the time.
We had cattle and also dairy cattle that were already on the ranch. So we milked cows for 13 years, I think, and the milk went to Grand Junction. So that was a paycheck twice a month, which was helpful in those days.
You just got up early every day and did your job and went to bed at night and slept good and kept on going.
The day starts at daylight and ends at dark on a lot of, you know, ranches. There's always something to do, and it's hard work. But to sit back after a day's work and admire what you've done and happy about it. How many cows, cattle? Just enough to eat all the hay. You don't get numbers from a rancher, how many cattle he owns, I can tell you that.
Well, I would say it was a smaller operation.
Yeah, ranching wasn't a big money maker. Got a lot of expenses. So we're fortunate that we've got by, and of course, Joe's teaching, you know, helps also. And the kids, they all worked hard, and they knew the reason why they had to work hard, you know, to make a living here.
And that's the old barn to our left, and an old grain bin, and another garage. Of course, there's the pickup and the horse trailer. There's lots of green meadows to look out at, and you can look down and see the trees next to the river.
And these trees out here now that are 50 foot tall was only about 10 foot tall. Everything's growing considerably.
I think something's coming out right there, maybe. I used to do out in front the whole front yard of a big garden, but I hope to do my flowers as long as I am able.
We're blessed that we're both still going and on our feet. Pretty happy about that.
We have good children. They help us a lot. They all grew up here. I think I must have done a fairly good job as being a mom.
We didn't push it to take over the ranch, you know. And they had their careers to take care of, and they were happy with what they was doing.
It's a hard way of making a living, is the reason we didn't push it.
Well, when I look out there, I think there's a lot of work yet to do. And we did a lot of things, you know, played a lot, fished a lot, had a lot of visitors. Family and a lot of our friends loved to come here to the ranch.
We didn't want to sell to anyone, any developers. We did not want to spoil the green meadows.
I think we'll go to our last days happy that it's going to stay in agriculture.
That was Rex and Joanne Kaufman sharing what it was like to ranch in the Roaring Fork Valley over six decades. The Kaufmans will continue to live out their days on the homestead for as long as they'd like. That audio postcard was produced by Aspen Public Radio's Eleanor Bennett. Coming up on this afternoon's Metro Show, host Miriam Schiff speaks with psychoanalyst, clinical supervisor, and author Dr. Galit Atlas about her studies in the science behind intergenerational trauma.
For me, you know, I don't like big words and jargon. And maybe part of it is that English is not my first language. And when I moved here, I like to feel, and you know, people tell me epigenetic is such a big word and this book is maybe dry and have a lot of information and theory. And the truth is that what I'm interested in is exactly what I'm interested in therapy, is to bring you as close as possible to me and to create a connection. So it comes from the inside out and not from the outside in. And I think this book is really about and demonstrates in many ways the ways emotions are passed down from generation to generation and how it looks. And the fact that the therapy stories are about people who come to therapy for many reasons, right? We call it a presented problem as therapists, right? Somebody comes in and they come with a problem. And it could be, you know, relationship or a breakup. In the book, I'm talking about affairs, about, you know, many things that happen to people in life, dilemmas, symptoms, right? And I take you with me to a journey where we go down underneath and try to understand what is going on here and how it is related not only to one's history, but to their parents' and grandparents' history.
That's coming up on today's Metro Show at 3 p.m. on your community radio station, KGNU, Boulder, Denver, and Fort Collins. That's all the time we have for today's Morning Magazine. I've been your host, Shannon Young. Special thanks to Ellie Stuckrath, Paul Caroli, Alexandra McMahon, Eleanor Bennett, Miriam Schiff, and Jack Armstrong for their contributions to today's program. If you'd like to comment on something you heard on KGNU, you can leave us a voicemail at 303-447-9911. We play the messages back on Tuesday mornings during the Morning Magazine. Stay tuned for a commentary from Jim Hightower, and then it's a public affair with the Community Foundation of Boulder County. That's just after these news headlines from the BBC.